Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Hallelujah. Well, I can't stop praising his name. Well, you know, saints, it's been almost a year since the time that we, for those that know, that we're doing this transition of the property. And it's taken so long, much longer than it should have taken. And along with it has been a tremendous extra expenses that should not have occurred, but they have. But we're going to finally close on May the 8th. And I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but we're going to treat for the faithfulness of the saints. We're going to have a treat, because God has brought us a long way. And I can't stop praising his name. On this past week, Sister Sharon and I was talking about, God done did some marvelous things in this ministry. Not just for the ministry, but the people in it. And you all have been so faithful that eyes cannot see and ears heard for God has prepared for you for being so faithful. But on this week, I was talking to Sister Sharon, and there's some things they wanted me to have from an expense standpoint by the closing. And I was telling Sister Sharon, well, I don't know. Let's just wait and see what happens on Sunday. But I knew coming on Sunday, everybody has not the confidence in God. Because we have one foot still over trying to get the world to bless us and the other foot trying to get God to bless. You can't get God's blessing without faith. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God comes from places that you would never imagine. And he wants to see how faithful you are. Or are you going to find another God to take his place? So all you can do is pray. Yes. Make your requests known unto him. Yes. And do you know, on yesterday, I needed about $4,000. And I said, God, you know, you're testing me again. But do you know that someone called me yesterday and said, I want to give this money to the church? They said, I want to give you $5,000. You got to come over into the kingdom. In miracle land. Well, you can't, but God can. He's not going to bless you first, because you're no longer in the world. You have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And you have to come this far, and you got to come by faith. And he has proven himself over and over again. So I've learned that even when it looks like there's no way out, I'm in miracle land, and that's where God's going to step in. Because he's faithful. And he's faithful because Brother James said he's Lord. That means he owns it all. Everything belongs to him. And this church is not my problem. It belongs to the Lord. And he said, it is my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he just waits to find that willing heart that's willing to be sensitive to, I need you to drop a little $5,000 down there at Turning Point. They've been faithful. And they need it for this closing. Because on the other side, I'm bringing them into my promise. And he's been faithful. He's worked miracles here.
Yes.
With this little small senior citizen on Social Security fixed income group. If anybody wants to know how God works, just come to Turning Point.
Thank you.
You can get a visual of what God can do. So lift those hands with me and help me sing today. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord. He has risen from. We're turning your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know, this message today is so appropriate for what the need was. And the fact that you're in a faith kingdom and you got to learn to trust him by faith. And as I was preparing this message, I didn't know what my need was going to be, or even what God was going to bless us with. Somebody understands that if I sow a seed in the kingdom, there's a reward for me. Somebody's got a sensitive ear to the Spirit to put it on your heart in order to show how to be blessed by God. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to read verses chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 9 through 14. And it reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God know no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Yes. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I want to talk today from this subject. The Spirit searches all things. He searches all things. He's talking about the spirit of a born-again believer. The Spirit of him searches all things. He searches into the things that God can do, even though they're impossible to you. So when God says your body eye have not seen, and neither have your body's ear heard, he's talking about the senses of your flesh. Two of the taste, touch, smell, feel, and hear. Cannot know what God has prepared for you, because there is no physical or material substance for your flesh to evaluate. We come into religion and we come into church, physical church, and we look for manifestations of material or physical things. And God is constantly proving to you, giving you a witness to his capability of what he can do. I mean, like I said, he's demonstrated that from the mere fact of in a physical realm of our little small elderly group even owning this property, which churches with much greater numbers, younger membership, bigger incomes, have not been able to achieve. And the reason why is because even though we love God, it doesn't take away the fact that we don't love God. We love God. But we use our natural senses to do the work for God. So even when God is trying to hand you a spiritual blessing because you can't physically see it, you reject it because it does not make sense. That means my taste, touch, smell, feel, and hear can't evaluate it. Yes. So you done prayed, you done asked God to do something for you, and then God comes and hands it to you. But because it's not material or of no substance, you reject it. He said, I answered it before you called. Before you asked me, I already answered. But you can't see the thing you didn't pray for because you don't see the physical substance that your senses can evaluate. So eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And he says, but it neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Okay, so you're not trying to evaluate it with your senses. So now you're trying to evaluate it on your education and on your knowledge and on your wisdom. But God says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and neither has it entered into your heart what I'm doing. You can't get it from God that way. And what makes us do that is not that we don't love God. It's not that we're not going to heaven. It's because we have gotten born again and still think that we know more than God. And if it doesn't line up, you know, one of the worst things you could do is keep the same company for too many years, because you all think alike. And when you go and try to get an opinion, all you're doing is hearing yourself. So you can't get out of that loop. Sometimes you need to steal away by yourself and let and meditate on God's word and let God's word lead and guide you, because he said, I will lead and guide you to the truth. So Paul here is saying that your flesh can't get it, and neither can your soul, because it's dealing with natural wisdom, natural understanding. So when you are, God is trying to give you something spiritually, you can't see it, and it doesn't line up with your intelligence and your intellect, or even maybe how you work on your job every day, because it's not working under those same principles, no understanding. He says, though, in verse 10, but God has revealed things to the believer's spirit through his spirit. God reveals things to your spirit through his spirit. Now, I have to do some demonstration today for you to follow what Paul is saying here. First, you have to understand that God is a triune God. He's a Trinity. He's a Trinity. Not that there's three gods. And see, and if you don't believe he's a Trinity, you can't get it revealed. Because you can't get past a God talking to himself. And he can't be at three places at one time, because as you study the scriptures, you're trying to push out this belief that there's three gods, and so it can't be a Trinity. It's got to be one. And so, but you have to not get the revelation, and this is a big one, where God is up in heaven and Jesus getting baptized and the Spirit coming down on a dove. All three things manifesting themselves at one time. And if Jesus is only God and there is no Trinity, then heaven is not occupied for 3.5 years. And if Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, the Spirit cannot be down here on earth doing what he's doing now. All that can't take place. So you can't get the revelation of how God works. So you'll read the scripture, you're good and saved, but you can't get the revelation because God says, my Spirit searches the deep things. And if we don't recognize they are deep, that we think they're shallow, and we think we understand them. So stand up, Brother James. Now, his name is James Dorsey.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you three in one. He's a father. He's a son. Husband. There's three. There's not three James Dorsey's up here, but there's three manifestations.
Yes, yes.
And they don't get confused. He does not try to go and act like Shannon, his daughter, is his mother. And he's not going to let her get confused.
Amen, amen.
That she's not his mother. That's his daughter. Yes. And neither is she his wife. He's his daughter. Now, his mother, his wife, and a daughter can all be in the same room at one time. And all three of them talking to him. And he can respond to all three. The father is not trying to tell the son to shut up, and the son is not trying to tell the husband to shut up. Each one of them is taking care of their business.
Yes.
And there's three manifestations in one. Thank you, sir. There's three manifestations, and they don't get confused. And they all know what their job is. And Jesus turns around and says that, now that I've gone back to heaven, you shall ask me nothing. Everything you ask the Father. But you ask it in my name. And the Father will give it to you. Now, he didn't say the Father might. The Father and the Son is not going to debate over it because he's giving it all to the Son. It belongs to him. That's why you got to use his name. He didn't say, I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost and tell the Spirit to give me what belongs to the Son. You're not getting that. And the Father can't give you something that won't belong to him. It belongs to the Son. So you go ask in my name, and the Father will give it to you. So then, in these three manifestations, the Spirit, in this case, the husband is the one that is searching the deep things of James Dorsey. He's searching the deep things of James Dorsey so that he can go back and tell the Father the things that he has researched and found in the deep things of himself. The deep things of myself, I search the prayer requests of Sister Tina to the Father, Sister Gloria to the Father. The Spirit goes down into the deep things, said, oh, this request hasn't been asked for a while. But he searches within himself. Can you imagine the vastness of God where he's existed throughout all eternity? And he's got just a treasure chest of things. That's why he says, eyes have not seen, and ears haven't heard, neither has it entered your heart what I've got prepared. So the little things that we're asking for is very easy things for God, but they require faith, confidence, and trust. And if you can see it, if you can hear it, or if your intellect has brought it to you, that wasn't God. You need to run from that. It's about to lead you to the wrong place. You've made the request to God, and God's going to let some other power manifest it to you. That's another idol trying to take my job. The wisdom God trying to take God's place. So God has revealed these things to a believer's spirit. So then, when the Spirit searches all things, come on, stand up again, Brother James. I gotta keep you as my prop. He does not reveal it to the Father, because it's the Father that is not doing the search. He doesn't reveal it to the Son Dorsey. It's not the Son that's doing the research. It's the Spirit of God that is revealing it to the husband God. That's who he reveals it to. Thank you, sir. He reveals it to your spirit. It goes to your spirit. It don't go to your flesh. It doesn't go to your soul. It goes to your spirit. Why your spirit? Because you were born again with the Spirit of God. The only thing that got a new birth is your spirit. And he gave your spirit a new birth. And it's not what used to be, because it's not tangible and material in the first place. So you can't even see what he gave a new birth to. So you can't water baptize a new birth. That's tangible. You can see that. You can't come up to an altar and get a new birth. That's tangible. You can see that. I can't lay hands on you to give you a new birth. You can feel that. All of those is symbolic of what already has taken place on the inside. So when God reveals, he reveals from his spirit to your spirit because they have the same DNA. Same spiritual DNA that he reveals it to. But you still got that messed up mind that you got from school, college, inside a PNG working every day around all these smart people. And you think that that's enough to give you more understanding than others. And so what we do to miss God, we get, what churches do, get all the intellects together because they got the most wisdom and understanding to do the things of God. That's the last group you should get together. Listen, when we were at James Temple, we had a deacon board. The chairman of the deacon board was Joe Boyd. He had an eighth grade education. And I'm a witness today. Out of all those trained people on that board, could nobody do that job like him? Because he lacked the natural skills. So he had a dependency on God. He tried to give me that job, but I wouldn't take it. Because I knew I couldn't do what he did. Because of what he lacked from wisdom, he had to depend on God. And he told me a story about when Bishop James first gave it to him. And he said, Bishop, I can't do this job. I've only got an eighth grade education, and I can't do it. And he said, Bishop turned to him and said, didn't you tell me you had the Holy Ghost? And he said, yes, then you got to do what I do. You go ask him. And that laid his foundation. That I watched this man in so many things and marveled at how he handled. I watched him cut this PhD down to like he didn't even understand the word. I saw with my own eyes. And he didn't get mad. He didn't get upset. He didn't try to go intellect to intellect because he couldn't handle him intellectually. But spiritually, he cut him down to size. And he won that, and Deacon Boyd won that debate. And he did exactly what Deacon Boyd told him to do. So the Spirit can do things that no other power or authority can do. And this occurs because the Spirit of God is constantly searching the deep things, the hidden things, the secret things of God, his treasure. And so he says in verse 11, so what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man? God's trying to bless you and you're trying to figure out the motive. I was trying to bless a group. I was trying all I could. But I could tell in hindsight, couldn't understand my motive. So while God was trying to bless them, they rejected it because it did not make sense. And it did not fit the intellect of what they thought my intent was. But God says, what man knows the intent or thought or the motives of another man? Yeah. Only that man's own spirit knows what his motives are. Yeah. But only that man knows really what's in his heart. I don't care what business I do, when I do it for the Turning Point or do it for myself, when I sit down and negotiate, I do everything to get total control. Everything I do, I want control. And I keep negotiating until I get it. And our lawyer has told me, Eddie, I know what you're going to do. You're going to do that anyway. Eddie, you're going to do it anyway. And he's right. But while I'm negotiating, I'm trying to take everything I can get from you. Everything is coming my way. And once I get control of it, I can't leave this book because this is how I get blessed. Yeah. Come on, I don't trust their heart. I know my heart. Come on, I'm going to do what's right according to this book because that's how I put up my reward in heaven, by staying with God. And so when I see that you're trying to negotiate and all, nope, I'm going to put this to where I got control. And then when issues come up, I still got control. I've had people to, no, I better not do that. My point is that when you get put in a world kind of predicament and it's a choice of who should win, I make sure I put myself in a world situation because I got an unjust judge that might have to make a decision. Yes. Yes. I got to make sure that I can win that with that unjust judge. Yes. So that's part of why I put it all under my control. But once it gets to a place that someone wants an unjust judge to decide, that's when I step forward and say, well, this is not going to occur because of this, this, and this. And I just had a recent situation that I almost started talking about, but I didn't mean to. And once I did that, I haven't heard from them anymore because I covered myself in the world system by asking God, how should I do this? Because I don't know what's down the road. I use the term down the road and around the corner. I don't know what's around the corner, but God knows. So as I inquire in my business activities, I inquire in a way that God, you gotta protect me from the seen and the unseen. Because I don't know all the things of a man, and I don't know the motives of their heart. But I know mine. So I make sure I ask God to help me with the deep things that I don't understand. He says that God's knowledge is really unattainable. So when you talk about the flesh, the Bible speaks in three terms. He called it your flesh, he called it your body, and he calls it the carnal man. C-A-R-N-A-L. He says those things, you can't teach spiritual things. Even what I'm saying right now, some still can't grasp what I'm saying. He says that the carnal man can't receive the things from God. If God tried to give it to my senses, it won't receive it. First of all, because my flesh don't like God. The Bible says my flesh hates God. One reason is because God's not letting it go to heaven. It says there's hostility between my flesh. I mean, today on April the 28th, 2024, my flesh does not like God. So God doesn't really reveal anything to it. He doesn't feed it. And I'm not trying to take care of it either. You hostile to me, you want me to take care of you? I'm just saying what the Bible says. Yes, yes. He calls it the carnal man. Yes. He says, so the carnal man, the senses, have to be fed milk like a baby. Because if you try to give it meat, it will choke. It can't digest it. So most people come to God, come to church, strictly carnal. When they leave, they cannot convert, can't take what God is trying to give them for the things they're praying for because they can't take it in. It's too heavy of a food. You know, to say, case in point, when I first came to church, and I done told this story, And when I, because the church I went to, I don't remember them talking about tithes at Lee Chapel. I remember them talking about you pay your conference claim to keep the schools open. So I came to James Temple, tithing 10%. Oh, no. I can't do that. That's too much money. I'm having trouble with what I'm doing now. And then my teacher, and I'm trying to get my bills paid and all that done, and he's saying, you can't save your way out of debt. You got to give your way out. Now, you know that does not make common sense. You know that don't make sense. I'm in debt, and I got to give my way out. I can't even make my car note. That was too much meat. I need a little bit of milk. I'm choking. It was too much. But little by little, I kept taking in the milk. Taking in the milk. And taking in the milk. Until God finally gave me a revelation after I got born again. The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. And even I belong to him. I bought you with a price. And everything belongs to me. So then I was thankful that God told me to pay 10 and I could keep the 90 and didn't tell me to give the 90 and you just keep 10. It belongs to him. So he said, you can keep the 90, give me 10. And I saw as I grew, and I didn't grow overnight, but as I grew, I watched God do miraculous things. I heard a miraculous story. Mother Lewis's husband, Elder Lewis, used to come and give all these stories. And I'm like, God, what would ever happen to me? And Bishop James used to come and talk about all the stories that and things God would do. God, what would happen to me? I couldn't grasp it because my senses was trying to get it. My intellect was trying to wrap my mind around it so that I can do the things to get what God will give back. But it took me to get a born-again spirit, the same nature. Now, this is like a mother who's pregnant with child. The feeding is coming from her while she's pregnant. She's developing that child through the umbilical cord. And through her process of feeding that baby in her womb, she matures it to a place to where it can get birth. And so the spirit knows that even though a person is carnal, if I can feed it while you're going through the umbilical cord, before the birth actually takes place, I can get you to a place. Because I deal with the deep things. I know why you can't believe me. I know what's restricting you. But he will reveal it to you. But your carnal mind still can't see it because it's yet carnal. And your natural mind, which the Bible calls your soul, or the natural man, is where your intellect, where you comprehend and understand things. It can't receive it either, because even though I got a new birth, that mind that I used to live by has not been renewed. It still thinks on everything left in that computer, all those tapes, and it can't let the past go. And that takes time. To get rid of all that past stuff because you've been trained by a group that thinks just like you. That's why you hang out with them. Here you're trying to live like a new creature in Christ and hang out with the same people in the world, you can't grow. You think you're growing. All you're doing is grabbing information. They'll tear up your job you got. They'll tear up your marriage. They'll tear up your children. You'll watch how they're teaching their children to live and everything. And you think you are strong enough to handle it. No, you're not. That's why God said there was going to be some folk that at the end time, they come up and say, God, I laid hands on folk. I cast some devils out of some folk. And Jesus came back and said, but I never knew you. I never knew you. Then he said, depart from me. You are workers of iniquity. All you did is mimic what you saw others do. All you did is copy what you saw true believers do. But I never knew you. And the natural mind and the carnal mind will put you in that state to think you're in good shape with God, but you have never had a new birth. Carnal people and natural minded people will tell you, well, I got baptized when I was 6 years old. They didn't tell you from that 6 years old up until now, they've been a hit man, they've been a pimp, they've been an embezzler, they've been a thief, you know, they're a woman chaser. And when they get through telling you all about being baptized, they're on their way to Sue's house then. Because a new birth has not taken place on the inside to change the nature. The nature is still there. And the nature hasn't been done with. We try to accept Christ but not change. Can't happen. I hate to bring you that good news. It cannot happen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So then, Paul says in verse 12 that we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit which is of God, so that you might renew your mind to the things freely given to you of God. In other words, when he reveals it to your spirit, the spirit taps you to try to get you to pay attention to what God just revealed to me that I just showed you in your mind. We will hear it, but when we walk out the door, we will not change. We allow it to stay dormant. After a while, it just fades away, and we can never change. And with an unrenewed mind as a believer, you will not see the need for anybody else in the state that they're in that you know is worse off than you. You can't even go off and do the things that God wants you to do to help others because your mind hasn't been renewed. You took care and checked off the box. I went to church, or I prayed. I said grace over my food. I did a kind act, but I have not renewed my mind to change. So he says in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So being born again of the Spirit is the new birth which we receive, a spiritual nature from God. And the Spirit of God does not speak to your soul, but to your spirit. So Paul does not say that the things which are freely given to us, but he says that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So it does not mean you will know all spiritual things. And neither does it mean every believer has equal spiritual wisdom. But it does mean every believer can understand the basic gospel message of Christ. So in verse 13, our closing verse. So you will not, as a born-again believer, speak about spiritual things that man wisdom teach, but what the Spirit teaches you. And your spirit that has been born again compares spiritual things to spiritual. Yeah. It doesn't compare spiritual things to natural or spiritual things to carnal. It compares spiritual things from spiritual that has not manifested itself yet. And to contrast the carnal natural things from man with spiritual things, you will miss God's revelation every time. So the word spiritual is a word that does not appear in the gospel. And it appears after Pentecost when God birthed the church. And once the church got birthed, then that's when God is allowing you to interact with him. And so spiritual things occur, which means unseen things, unheard things. Things that have not natural mind, that occurs after the new birth. And so God gives that to you, though in a proportion that you can digest so that you can work yourself to him. I want to use this metaphor, and I've used this before, but this right here, I think, will help you to understand everything I've said up to this point about spiritual things being given to a spiritual man. Yeah. And it's an example about Duke Energy. And this is for the carnal mind, because you'll be able to visualize this and what I'm saying. Now, Duke Energy is a company, and you need to see it as the power of God in heaven. Duke Energy is the power of God sitting up in heaven. And Duke Energy is the source of your electric in your house. That's your source. It comes from heaven. It comes from Duke Energy. But Duke Energy does not send this power from heaven to you. He doesn't send it from heaven to you. His heaven sends it by way of his spirit. And his spirit is like a generator. It's Duke Energy's generator that's sitting out on the corner somewhere wrapped around with a fence that's supplying a whole neighborhood. All that power duped and ran underground to that generator. And it's there to supply a whole neighborhood, businesses and all. And the generator, if it was all supplied just to your house, it would blow it up. That's too much power. Yes. Too much power. Yes. So if God is trying to get your flesh to behave, reason why he don't send that power to your flesh, it'll blow it up. Too much power. So the generator produces the electricity. It supplies the electricity to a transformer, which you see out on the pole here. This transformer is reduce the amount of electric, because I gotta reduce it down because it's too much power coming to it. This transformer is your spirit. He's reduced it down so that the transformer can put the electric into your electric panel in your house. I'm taking all this power I got and I keep on reducing it down so that you can handle it. So then the transformer sends it, like I said, to the service panel. And you then supply the electricity to each room of your house. And it takes more electric to cut on a microwave than it turns to cut on a lamp. So depending upon where you need it in your house, you reduce it again inside of your service panel. So it's got enough energy to turn on that microwave and run that washer, but won't overload and put too much electric into that lamp. And some places, it's got to be reduced even more so I can use it for my smoke detector, my security pad, and my thermostat. All of it can't get the same amount of power. It would tear it up. So God brings this electric from his spirit into your spirit. Because you the only one that know in your mind what you need, distribute it. So you can't get all this power source at once. You know where it needs to be distributed. And sometimes it needs to be distributed to the person next door. Their power source got disconnected. And they need some electric. Otherwise, everything that they've learned about God so far might spoil. So then, spiritually, God is the source of your spiritual needs. And what he ultimately is trying to do is to change your soul. I've already changed your spirit when I gave you the new birth. That's why I said that when you leave this earth, the body will go to the dust of the ground for where it's been created. And I want my DNA to go back to heaven. And your soul chooses what it wants to do. The power source is there. If you don't turn on the light switch, that's not God's problem. If you leave it on and nobody's using it and the bill is not paid, there's a disconnect notice. And God has taught us all, I've taken care of the power for you to get to heaven. But they that worship me must worship me in spirit. If any man come to the Father, you got to come through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you the power source that you are able to sustain yourself until I come back to get you. And if you don't use your source to get yourself to heaven, when the rapture takes place, you will see been disconnected. Been disconnected because I've given you everything that you need to get to heaven. I haven't made you work for not one thing. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds to go to heaven. All the power source comes from me. And there is no other power that can get you to heaven. So it's given to you from God searching the deep thing. How do I want to bring mankind back from where Adam then put the situation in? When I couldn't find nobody else, I said I'll go myself. I can manifest my word and make my word flesh. And I can make my word go down. I can put a soul in it, in my word. If I can create the world, I can sure enough put a soul in it. If I can create man from the dust of the ground, I can put a soul in a body. And I can make that word flesh to dwell among you and come and pay for the price myself to restore you back to myself. And if you choose not to use the power that I've given you, you might have a disconnect notice when the rapture comes. So God promises us, for if we seek those things from above and let God provide what you need to your spiritual man, God promises to supply all your needs if you maintain a supply of the Spirit and do not receive a disconnect. Turn your switch on, because the Spirit of God searches all things. Let's lift our hands today. These are your antennas. God deals with a wireless system. All you got to do is get your hands to turn into the frequency.